You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station, one day, everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Principle is to protect people's safety and their rights. And when the governor asked me to serve in the United States Senate, he knew that I would go up there with that same intensity, the same focus, and fight on behalf of Florida. He knew I would go to D.C. and fight for your families the way I fight for my own.
We, the hardworking, everyday people of Florida, sent a shockwave to the Washington And they better get ready. Because they ain't seen nothing yet.
So, biggest surprise yesterday. Not a lot of surprise. There are a couple of surprises. I would say some moderate surprises yesterday, but the big surprise, one that's actually made international news, you say, what? Yeah, actually, you know, English newspapers, European newspapers sometimes report on American politics. Actually, it's kind of funny. When I used to work in England as a bartender for about 4 months, I went over there for 6 months on a work visa and worked for 4 months and traveled for 2 months, and it was a blast. I highly recommend doing something like that if you have the opportunity. You know, one of the things that I noticed is in the pub I worked in, the English people who would come into the pub had a very, very funny, to me, relationship with the United States. And their relationship was that they loved to hate the United States. And were obsessed with the United States. And they loved to condescend and criticize, but they loved it. Like, it was their favorite thing to talk about. Which is, I think, tells you a lot about the British. And so, you know, a lot of British newspapers, of course, cover us. And this was in The Guardian yesterday. I mean, this is all over national news, TV, print, everywhere. Angie Nixon, winning in the race, the primary in the Democrat race against Alex Vindman. Now, if you don't remember Alex Vindman, I don't know how much of these things you've been paying attention to over the years, but Vindman was the Air Force guy who was the primary source of the leak about the information regarding the phone call where President Trump tried to get Zelensky to investigate Biden over the allegations of corruption and Biden bragging about pressuring the Ukrainians to do what he wanted to do. Do you remember this? I mean, this was what led to the first impeachment for President Trump. So had it not been for an Alex Vindman, we probably wouldn't have had a first impeachment. And Vindman ran a campaign. He's a moderate Democrat. And he ran a very good campaign. He expected to win. He had a ton of money compared to Angela Nixon. Vindman had $16 million. Nixon didn't crack a million. But she won. So this was a big deal yesterday, and not just that, not just the fact that she underspent him dramatically, but, you know, she won convincingly, 56 to 44. I mean, anything over a 10-point spread is a big victory in politics, especially when you're talking about, you know, statewide races, okay? So, she won convincingly in the Democratic side, and she won with much, much, much less money over Alex Vindman, who, I have to say, for my part, and I think for a lot of people's part, we just assumed Vindman was going to win. Like, this wasn't even an interesting race, in part because he had so much more money, in part because he really had a lot of name recognition he's sort of the ideal, you know, anti-MAGA, anti-Trump kind of candidate for the Democrats to run. And because he's not crazy. Angela Nixon is a loon. I mean, she looked, I've followed her since she was in the House, and she's out there. Way, way out there. She is a Democrat socialist. She is one of them. And she won, even though, again, dramatically underfunded compared to him.
We went up against the political establishment, against millions of dollars out of state spending. We were outspent 16-1, and we won.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big accomplishment. Outspent 16-1 and winning. And in case, you know, you might not remember any of her stuff, but I went through my archive to look just yesterday, this morning, actually, just to see if I had, you know, a couple of clips. I found one. May play others. We'll see. But
thank you, Madam Speaker. Rep, are you also going to add adjudicated rapists to the signage for this bill?
Representative Nixon, that does not pertain to the contents of this bill.
She was asking about the renaming of Trump I-4. I-4? I want to say it was I-4 to Trump Highway. She said it twice in that same meeting. You know, are you going to make rapist a part of the name? So she is, you know, decidedly an anti-Trumper, also a gun grabber.
And then, you know, I have like a security team, and they try to like have me practice pulling a gun out and that type of stuff, and I ain't good at it. And so I can imagine a gun being turned on the professors. I don't think it's a good look. So thank you for this amendment.
So against having guardians in the schools, I ain't good at it. I can't shoot a gun. Like, that's Angela Nixon. And when I say she's nuts, like, nuts. But she won. So she's the Democrat candidate. So now what you want to say is, I mean, obviously Ashley Moody, the incumbent, you know, former AG, now the senator, put in place when Marco Rubio was made Secretary of State and Secretary of Venezuela and Secretary of the WNBA and Secretary of Canada and Secretary of... by the way, side note, I loved... Did you see, PJ, the gift they gave him?
No.
Okay, so you know the meme, right? The Rubio meme of him sitting on the couch in that one press conference from way back when, that it was just the randomest photo that became this viral meme of him having all of these different outfits because, mm-hmm. you know, he's running Iran or he's right. running whatever, okay? And the Trump gave him and he kind of hated it at the beginning, but it became, you know, everybody. It's kind of a positive meme, better than him sipping water after the... You know, the response to the State of the Union, remember that
yeah,
years ago?
I do.
Anyway, so Trump gave him a framed photo of like 60 some odd memes with him. And then in the middle is one in gold, you know, very Trump kind of thing. And yeah. he, you know, I thought it was kind of funny. It was kind of cute. Anyway, so you had Ashley Moody became a senator when, you know, he was promoted to be Secretary of State. And she's been very good as a senator. But of course, it's you only get to appoint until the next election. So there was still another 2 years in the unexpired term for Rubio. So that's what this election is going to be about. It's filling those last 2 years. And you would assume that in a state that leans right now, you know, pretty heavily, we're no longer a purple state, not really. You would imagine that Ashley Moody is going to walk to victory in November. But let me remind you. Everybody assumed that Angela Nixon was going to walk to victory, or that Alex Vindman was going to walk to victory, being outspent and not being, what's the word I want, crazy. But the Democrat socialists, what was I telling you all day yesterday? Be afraid and vote. Be afraid and vote. You know, it doesn't take that many to win. You know, in a state of 2 million that we've got right now, the total vote for the Democrat side, where there's, what's the registered Democrat number? I don't have it right in front of me, but it's got to be 5 or 6 million, maybe. I'm just spiffballing something in that vicinity. This was 1.2 million people. You know, teeny tiny turnout. Terrible. So that was one surprise. That was the big surprise. That, seriously, international news, okay, that a Democrat socialist won the primary in the state of Florida. The other big news was super local, and that was, I think there were two surprises locally. Surprise number one, for me, maybe I shouldn't have been I was surprised that the superintendent amendment passed by such a wide margin here in Escambia County. And maybe I shouldn't have been surprised by this. Maybe it was naive to think that it was going to be closer than it was. I wasn't sure what that was going to turn out as. And, you know, I've given up predicting races because I don't know anymore. I mean, if Dave Peach can lose to Ray Eddington 4 years ago, I don't know anything. I think of that as that this is proof that anything can happen in local politics, because Dave Peach was one of the most capable commissioners we've ever had. Ray Eddington is a nice guy. And he lost yesterday, as the incumbent. Very close race against Dean Light. Dean Light, who's another longtime Air Force veteran like Dave Peach was. Bright, capable, decent guy. The campaign was very nice, which, you know, Dean Light even commented on to Channel 3 last night.
I feel great. I knew I had a good chance. I knew it would be close. And Mr. Eddington and I think, ran probably one of the nicest races that they've seen in this county for a long time. This is my first time running for any office. I never thought I'd be any kind of politician.
Yeah, long time in the Air Force, retired, looking for a way to serve, and he got recruited, I'm assuming. I don't know who did, but, you know, to run against Ray Eddington. Ray has, I like Ray, get along with Ray. He's a nice guy. He's a former sheriff, I think, police chief, I forget which, from Tennessee. But he's just not a particularly good commissioner. Not particularly well aware of a lot of things. I think he tries hard, you know, in some ways. But I was, again, shocked that he beat Dave Peach, not shocked that Dean Light beat him, a little surprised that it was so close. I mean, this was very, very, very close. It was, 51 to 49, something like that. I think it was, I have in my head. Let me look here. Where am I at? Yeah, 51 to 49. What? Like, that should not have been close at all. The other race in Santa Rosa County was surprising. 6-person race for the Republican. And that's, by the way, that's it. They're done. That was an open primary. So that's over. There's no challengers left in Santa Rosa County. At least I'm 90% sure that's right. Let me just double check my numbers here. But yeah, that's right. So that race is over. Dean Light is the elected county commissioner. On the other hand, the 6-person race for District 2, that was District 4, Navarre. The District 2 race, East Milton, where Kerry Smith is the current, the incumbent. I actually thought Kerry would win by a plurality. I just thought that, you know, name recognition alone would probably benefit him a lot. And name recognition, I think, did benefit Jeff Ates. Jeff Ates won that. And by a very small plurality, 26%, in a 6-person field. This is actually very, very close across the board. I mean, Jeff Ates got 26. Jeff Snow, former Milton City Councilman, also a good candidate, got 20. Kerry got 15. Aaron Neiswanger got 15. Renee Johnmeyer got 16. Kerry came in 5th out of 6. R.C. Pittman's the only person he beat who got 7. And, I mean, anybody who runs, I want to be kind towards them, but I was surprised RC got as much as 7. I'll just put it that way. But yeah, 5th place for the incumbent, which was wild. Now, there's a lot of online sort of pitchfork posse activity against him. He had, you know, the fire Kerry Smith kind of, you know, .com or whatever the things that were up. But I was surprised that was so, you know, that he showed so poorly. I actually thought he'd win with a plurality somewhere around 30%. I didn't say it on the air, so it's, you know, doesn't mean anything after the fact, but I'm just telling you that's what I thought in my head. So that was a fairly surprising one. So those are your surprises. In the school board in Santa Rosa County, you've got a 2-person runoff going to the November ballot. Scott Peden, the incumbent, did not show up to the forum that I moderated, which I thought was weird. Marie Lachlan and Jill Broxton Texton, both very close, 47 for Marie, and Jill got 39%. So, you know, they'll go to a runoff in November. Carol Boston barely by 300 votes beat Kyle Connolly for school board to get reelected for District 3 in Santa Rosa County. And Linda Sanborn, incumbent, won handily over David Farrow. His wife is a city council in Milton. I was surprised that was even as close as it was because, you know, I thought Linda was such a capable candidate, and I did not think David particularly was. But, yeah, so there you go. You know, Mike Kohler, they're going to have a runoff. He has to beat the Democrat, but that was not surprising in Escambia County. And D.C., of course, won with a actual majority, 53%, so he has been reelected as the mayor. No need for a runoff. that was completely unsurprising to me. I didn't know for sure whether he'd break 50%. That was the only, that was really the only question, is whether he'd break 50% and have to win again in November or not. And just like the first time around, he won with barely over 50%, but barely over in a six-person field is quite something. So congratulations to DC. And I will say this, even the candidates who I think are, you know, not very good or not very capable, or they're weird or bizarre or extremist, like Angie Nixon, I appreciate anybody who runs. I admire people who run. I think you got to be a little bit crazy to run. I think politics sucks. And so congratulations to everybody who won, including John Fay, who beat Trey McMullen in the Republican primary in District 2 for the State House. He'll have to win in November, but that should be a cakewalk, especially that's primarily a Santa Rosa County district. So I wouldn't expect any surprises. And, of course, Byron Donalds won handily. That was no surprise. David Jolly won handily. That was no surprise. Like I said, a lot of not surprises in the election results last night. But when, what, 20% or so of the people vote, you know, you never know what's going to happen because, you know, in a 20% field, even if you're only 10% of the regular vote, but you all vote, that can be half the vote. You see how, like, a very small minority can heavily influence the primary politics if they choose to show up. 525 News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You've still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia and RSV. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and can help protect you from getting really sick. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. See more at PfizerForAll.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
When you're finally off the clock after a long day, dishes put away, kids asleep, feet kicked up, heartburn. Don't let heartburn take over your hard-earned moment. Quick, Alka-Seltzer. Nothing works faster for heartburn relief. Alka-Seltzer effervescent tablets begin neutralizing stomach acid in seconds, so you can get back to your one more episode marathon. Quick, Alka-Seltzer. Because nothing works faster for heartburn relief. Use as directed.
Did you know? Economic development is not about slogans. It is about outcomes. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to recruit and support businesses that generate high-wage jobs, significant capital investment, and long-term tax base growth. That means stronger public services and a more competitive Escambia County without raising taxes. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Hi, Brad. You know how cute I always thought you were.
But I'd been forgotten, I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, cutting I Joe? But I'd been forgotten,
Good morning, 527 News Radio 92.3. I know you expect different music after that clip. Moving in stereo is what you probably expect, but man, some music is what's the word I want? It creates such a vivid imagination that maybe I don't want to make that for you. Other interesting news yesterday: former lawmaker Caruso. This is a guy who. And I did not want to talk about this an awful lot because it's a really awful story. But he is now was until yesterday, the Palm Beach County Clerk of Circuit Court, and the comptroller, Mike Caruso, former GOP legislator here in Florida, got arrested by FDLE for I don't want to tell you the details. I mean, it's like legitimately, I don't want to tell you the details, but for child sexual abuse. And you know, I mean, if you really want to know, you can go online. There's some things I'm not going to talk about on the radio. It's really, really awful. But he was a big supporter of Governor DeSantis, and Governor DeSantis appointed him to the post. Okay. And then removed him an hour after James Uthmeyer, the attorney general, posted that the investigation is ongoing and that he was arrested on charges related to child sexual abuse. You know, so Uthmeyer posts that the charges are happening. DeSantis removes him an hour later. That's it. And it's kind of it's going to be a very interesting case because what he is alleged to have done is, like I said, genuinely awful. And allegedly, this is not the first time either. Okay. But we now have a law on the books that allows for the death penalty for the most extreme sexual abuse of children cases. And which means that he could theoretically be eligible for the death penalty. And the Supreme Court has previously instructed that the death penalty is only legitimate for murder. So, you know, we're kind of a long way from an outcome, obviously. But even DeSantis in a press event yesterday had said, if he's convicted, he's going to be in a world of hurt. We're the first state to reintroduce the death penalty for pedophiles. So talking about a guy who had been his, you know, one of his like allies and supporters, you know, he went against the House leadership when they were in a squabble against DeSantis over the immigration stuff and other things. So he was not, you know, he was on the outs among the GOP House members, you know, Perez's team at all. But anyway, this is, like I said, horrible case. Good that charges have been brought and he's been removed from office. It will be very interesting to see how the trial goes and then what Florida does with him afterwards, because you could theoretically see that outcome for this case.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Congressman Byron Donalds is just one victory away from becoming the first black governor in Florida. Fox's Madeline Rivera.
The longtime Trump ally benefited from the president's endorsement, beating several other candidates, including Florida Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, whose term limited, stayed out of the primary.
He takes on Democrat David Jolly this fall. Democratic Socialists in the Sunshine State celebrating the stunning victory of Representative Angie Nixon over Trump impeachment witness Alex Vindman in the Senate primary. She challenges U.S. Senator Ashley Moody in November. In Alaska, incumbent Senator Dan S. Sullivan and Democrat Mary Petola, former Representative Vance, officials still tallying up the ballots since the top four move on to the November midterms. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 5:31 at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got 80 degrees with partly cloudy skies. We're going to look at our forecast here in just a couple of minutes. Now, taking a quick look at our primary election results from Tuesday night, Escambia County voters have approved switching the school superintendent from an appointed position back to an elected one, with the referendum passing with 71% support. Voters will not cast ballots for the next superintendent until November of 2028. In Pensacola's mayoral race, D.C. Reeves won outright with 53%. In a Santa Rosa County, voters approved a referendum to increase the fire assessment fees for the Holly Navarre Fire District, with just under 57% in favor. In the Republican primary for County Commission District 4, Dean Light narrowly defeated incumbent Ray Eddington. And as for Escambia County District 2 commissioners, Mike Kohler defeated Republican challenger Glenn Dorsey. He'll face Democrat Matthias Robinson in November. All three Escambia school board incumbents, Kevin Adams, Paul Fetzko, and David Williams, kept their seats. And statewide, Congressman Jimmy Petronas won the Republican primary for Florida's 1st Congressional District. He'll face Gay Vallemont again in November. In the Republican primary for governor, Byron Donalds won the nomination with 49% of the vote ahead of Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins. It's 5:33 here at News Radio 92.3. Northwest Florida Congressman Jimmy Petronas says the extended deployment of the USS Abraham Lincoln is creating a unique set of pressures, and says the youth of the crew and the nature of the mission are both factors in understanding what's happening aboard the ship.
Very young men and very young women, and very young romances develop. So, I mean, you can imagine that there's all types of emotions that come to bear, including hostility, anger. So, yeah, you know, a little bit of cabin fever is to be expected, especially the nature of the conflict.
And Petronas says the Lincoln departed San Diego in November of 2025 for what was supposed to be a 7-month deployment, now approaching 9 months. with no end date announced so far. He says the Navy has confirmed continuous access to clean water and air conditioning and has denied reports of an increase in self-harm aboard that ship. Well, Florida's Board of Governors has confirmed Stuart Bell, the University of Florida's 14th president, ending a rocky confirmation process marked by questions over diversion policies and governance disputes on board members. Bell previously was the president of the University of Alabama. He told the board he's not bringing DEI or woke policies back to Florida. His confirmation follows years of leadership turnover at the University of Florida, which has now had three presidents in 3 years. Bell's contract will run through 2031 with an annual base salary of $2 million. 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast from meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today, with temperatures warming up near 95 degrees. A heat advisory in place as temperatures will feel into the triple digits. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Another hot day on your Thursday, high near 96 degrees, with a 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Your money now. Unitree Robotics shares skyrocketed more than 460% this morning as the Chinese humanoid robot maker made its stock market debut in Shanghai. The company, whose backflipping and dancing machines have drawn global attention, said it raised roughly $905 million in its IPO. OpenAI said it has rolled out ChatGPT for Teens, a dedicated chatbot experience that includes, quote, stronger built-in safety protections. The company added that ChatGPT for Teens includes educational features and has appropriate age safeguards. The launch comes as OpenAI rival Meta is kicking off a high-stakes trial over whether it fostered addictive behavior in teens and children. Apple has announced that alternative third-party app stores in the European Union will be charged a 5% commission on in-app purchases. The iPhone maker says the new fee will resolve disagreements with regulators stemming from Europe's Digital Markets Act. Futures are slightly lower. That's your money now.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. Pioneer Credit Union's high-yield checking, 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts, and 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking.
Federally insured by NCUA, Pioneer's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield on balances up to $10,000 with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thanks, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all. No duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve. Especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions. Because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us in studio today, we have Chip Simmons, the Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We got events we want to get to, but I also want to get to kind of this flock camera issue because we've been talking about it a lot. But, you know, Steve Stroberger mentioned that he needed to have a heart-to-heart with you, and I'm kind of curious if that's happened yet. So we'll get to that. That's
we've
coming.
Talked,
okay. Yes. All right. Well, I mean, that'll take up as much time as we allow it. So let's push that for just a second. We had a murder take place in Ferry Pass at Woodchuck and Spanish Trail. Looks like it may have been one man killed his boyfriend. What do we know?
Well, all I can say is it is domestic. They have been roommates for several years, and I can simply tell you again, because there's some victim protections that I have to maintain.
Okay.
That it looks as if he was shot and killed while laying in the bed.
Okay.
We were directed there with the victim's parents or with the assistance of the victim's parents, who became suspicious because they had not heard from their son in some time. They were out of town. When they came back in town, then they, you know, things kind of ramped up for them.
Okay, so this wasn't a report of a gunshot. This was a welfare check.
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay, got it. We also had this guy who robbed a couple of women at the plasma center, I guess, took a bunch of jewelry from them and went back to work at the dealership?
Yeah, he was. He approached them. They were out back taking a break. And then he robbed them at gunpoint, from what I recall, and took some jewelry and some different things. We were able to arrest him and recover some of the stolen property.
We had a what happened at Showalter Park? Like this, it's. Do you tell me?
A lot happened at Showalter Park. It started with two individuals that agreed to meet to fight over a girl, uh-huh. over a situation with a female. And about 7 to 8 people gathered around. 2 were combatants, and the rest were watching.
This is like drop a pin, come and try me? Is that what this is?
There was some online type of announcement about it, but
okay.
I guess only 7 to 8 people showed up. But they did show up, and then after the fight had concluded, one of the individuals evidently or reportedly had a handgun in his waistband, and one of the people that was watching came up to him with a gun and said, give me the, you know, try to rob him of the gun from his waistband. And then just started firing at him, shot him several times in the torso, and then left the scene. So we think we know everyone that was there. We have had
numerous conversations. Was anybody hit?
Yes, he was shot and killed.
Okay.
And then another person was shot in the leg.
Okay.
With non-life-threatening injuries. So we're investigating, obviously, the homicide and then the, we'll call it, attempted homicide of the individual that was shot in the leg. So we've talked to, again, all the witnesses that we can gather. We do have a suspect, and we're still working towards that probable cause.
How many videos do you have?
Tell me
a group of people got together online to have a fight.
There should be 7 videos.
They're all shooting videos, right?
Yeah, well, initially, not all the witnesses were consistent with what why you were there and who was there.
So weird.
We're working on it. But I will tell you, we are getting some cooperation.
Good.
There are a lot of people up there that know what happened, but may not have witnessed it.
Okay.
You know, second, third hand. So it gives us something to go on. And then again, we're zeroing in on the suspect.
Okay. All right. Let's see. This business with Ronnie Rivera, he's good friend of yours. I know Ronnie real well. I know Crystal, not as well, but somewhat. I see these sign stories every election year, and I'll just be honest. I feel like people do all kinds of silly stuff, and they make all kinds of wild accusations, and when it comes to signs, if there's a sign and you put a sign, it's impeding somebody's view of that sign, and if you go to the corner where there's a lot of signs, it's like there's 1,000 signs. It's like, who can win? I don't get what this story is all about. I mean, I get what people are saying about it, but you guys are doing an investigation. You tell me what's going on.
Well, we got a report. Mr. McMillan came to our office and wanted to make two complaints. One's a criminal complaint, and then they alleged a statute
okay.
was violated. And then the second was an internal complaint saying that it was a policy violation. Because Ronnie Rivera works at the sheriff's office, we
right.
felt like it was the best move to go ahead and ask the Florida Department of Law Enforcement to look into it, even though it was a relatively minor complaint. And typically, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement handles these complaints anyways, or the state attorney's office.
Okay.
We can, but we typically don't do election-type cases. They have – the Florida Department of Law Enforcement has an individual that kind of specializes in that with
okay.
the region. So they're taking a look at the criminal aspect of it. And while the statute is basically about business signs and about permitted signs,
right.
It doesn't really – to me, it doesn't really talk about political signs.
Okay.
And as a candidate in a couple of elections now, I know that this happens – hundreds of times every single election year.
Especially at crowded corners, by polling places, which this was, right? It's a polling place?
Right. It was an early voting location.
Okay, got it.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And that's why, again, everyone goes to these very few, or seemingly.
Because they know people are going. Right.
Early voting locations, so there's a lot more signs there. And signs from every district in every election and that sort of thing.
Side note, can I editorialize and say, I don't understand why people even bother putting this. It's just clutter to me. I've never imagined there's even a single voter in the history of the universe that was driving past a polling place corner and thought, oh, now I'm voting for X because I saw their sign among the other 70.
Well, the hope is that you do your research before you get there and
vote. It's such a preposterous premise. Anyway, go ahead.
But not everyone knows exactly what's on every ballot.
I know. I
can't say anything. There was a lot of Chip Simmons signs at the early voting locations.
Fair enough.
And half the time I was standing here waving, reminding people. I know. You know, who I am.
It's what people do. So you gave this high crime to this huge issue of a sign in front of another sign to FDLE, and they...
The criminal complaint, and they're going to let us know, and then we'll do our internal investigation as to whether there were any policy violations.
All right, I'll leave it at that. So we mentioned it right at the beginning. Steve Stroberger gave a very passionate speech the other day at the Escambia County Commission meeting about why he thinks that flock cameras are a violation of the Fourth Amendment, or at least a violation of the spirit of the Fourth Amendment, protecting people and their ability to move around. I have been very reluctant to take very seriously some of the complaints about the license plate readers, which you support. Sheriff and city, police also, of course, use them. And mostly because I thought the arguments that were being made by the critics, mostly the Democratic Socialists, but not all, were quite terrible. I talked about this a lot yesterday. But the more I have thought about it, the more I do sympathize with the concern about mass surveillance. And yes, I understand that a deputy can stand on the corner and write everything down. But we don't have a deputy on every corner, and I'm not sure that we'd want a deputy on every corner. And they do have more effect than the individual deputies, but I'm not sure that level of scale is something I'm eager to embrace the what comes next from, you know? And you know all of these issues, obviously. So Steve Stroberger said he needed to have a heart-to-heart with you. That was his words. Have you guys talked?
Well, I have had a discussion with Commissioner Stroberger, yes. I explained to him the protocols that are in place, the safeguards that are in place. I explained to him my rationale for the use of technology to include license plate readers, not just flock, but license plate readers in general. I can tell you that my over 40 years in law enforcement, the license plate readers is the single greatest tool a law enforcement agency has ever had. Every county in the entire state of Florida is using license plate reader technology. I can tell you that we have very stringent audit protocols to include an AI protocol, which will give us alerts real time when something looks a little bit out of the norm, which means we can go and we can look at that right as it happens. Now, again, no one's perfect, and I can point to any occupation where there are bad actors, and those bad actors are dealt with, and they certainly will be dealt with at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office.
There was just a story, I think, yesterday of this female cop elsewhere in Florida who used to flock cameras to spy on her ex or something, her boyfriend 160 times. And I've said this before. I think that proves the system's working because it's correcting the abuses.
Yeah, every time you hear about it, it means that someone is addressing that.
Right.
And again, a friend of mine tells me the analogy all the time. There are doctors that have abused anesthesia, and no one's saying you can't have anesthesia anymore. No one's saying that.
Well, I mean, cops have misused tasers. It doesn't mean you get rid of tasers. Cops have misused guns. License. You don't take rid of guns. Everything that can be misused gets misused. Right. It's a question of how often.
So let's talk about the public view. Mm-hmm. It's a public view. It's a license plate reader. It's not a red light camera. People get those confused.
Of course.
And it is a public view, and it is.
And they're not facial recognition cameras.
That is correct. And I will tell you that if we were afraid of technology and the advancements of technology, then we wouldn't have internet. We wouldn't have, automobiles. If Henry Ford was afraid of where an automobile might lead us, then we wouldn't have that. I think that we have got to embrace technology. I think even people talk a lot about our forefathers, and Thomas Jefferson even if I'm not mistaken mentioned something about laws and institutions must go hand in hand with the evolution of the human mind, right? As we advance, our technology, our institutions should advance as well. They could not have envisioned license plate readers. He could not have envisioned things in a public roadway, which is basically where we have these, was only where we have these flock or these license plate readers. In fact, I think he famously said, should I be expected to wear the same coat I wore as a child? No, we evolve, and we have to look at things with today's eyes and not yesterday's eyes. I can't expect our law enforcement officers to fight 21st century crime with 20th century technology. And again, as I mentioned before, it is only in public areas where there is no expectation of privacy. We have First Amendment auditors and First Amendment individuals that stand on sidewalks
yep.
and video people all the time. We have people on beaches that video kids and people that go to the beach, and there's really nothing we can do about that. It's a public area.
Well, so agreed, all of that. And
you don't
I'll
like
go
Thomas
I'll,
Jefferson, do you?
I'll go. For, what
you're
yeah,
saying.
I might like.
You're
him
saying
too.
He was wrong.
Well,
was
I mean Thomas
him.
Jefferson, you know, is kind of a liberal. So anyway, but. And I'll go a step further because I was talking about this with Sheriff Johnson yesterday, is obviously if you don't have license plate readers, there will come a time where you have to tell a mom whose child got kidnapped, we were unable to apprehend your person. And we used to have, if we got rid of them, let's say, we right. used to have technology that probably could have helped find your kid, but we didn't find your kid because people were concerned about privacy and moving around in public without these license plate readers. And I agree. It will mean there are crimes not solved. There are murders not solved. There are stolen cars not found. Agreed. All of that. But we have all kinds of limits built into how you do copping, how you do policing,
right.
because we want to protect people's constitutional rights or, you know, their right against self-incrimination or lots of other things. And of course, I understand that a car has a license and it's not an entitlement. It's something that you earn from the state. All that being said, I'm not worried about Sheriff Simmons. You know, as much as I criticize our Escambia County Commission, I'm not really worried about them. I'm not worried about the Pensacola City Council. I'm worried about what happens if the socialists win or if somebody else comes in and wins and they start using government to do other things they shouldn't do and somehow they don't get stopped in it. That's what worries me. I'm worried about the defense against totalitarianism, the defense against the tyrannical government that our Constitution was built to protect me from. And these things worry me. The scale of surveillance and the use of AI even to filter the information worries me, not for today. And I know it'll cost unsolved crimes, but that's where I'm at. I'm very much on the fence about this because of that issue.
Well, I wonder, were you concerned about satellites? Were you concerned about
Absolutely.
Google Maps?
Yes.
Were you concerned
yes.
about those? Were the,
I don't,
the
I don't have location. To, I don't,
with all that stuff?
Yes,
I don't either.
And
I don't have location
on my phone for this exact reason.
Yeah.
And look, Ring doorbell cameras, I think this is a problem. I think dash cam camera, I think this is a problem. I think all the things that we've accepted that create, like you say, everything you do is always on video. I think that's a problem. And I'm worried about all of it. Especially when the government's using it.
So if all of that is a problem, you select the one tool for that law enforcement, the most important tool, in my opinion, mm-hmm. that we have had in 40 years, the one tool that can actually bring justice to victims, the one tool that can potentially find and has been proven to find lost children and elderly that you know people silver alerts. I just find it peculiar that we choose this particular piece of technology to lay claim to rather than all of these other millions and millions of things that I think that we can also grow a concern towards.
And fair response. And that's I think that there are all kinds of things we could do to prosecute crimes that we don't do because we think, well, that's an important protection. Like we don't make a list of gun owners.
Right,
you know,
and
why?
Right.
Well, we could solve more crimes if you had to register your guns, you know? Would it create other problems? It might. But, like, there are things we do out of that sort of philosophical concern that we believe are wrong to do because it would cost us things that are important to us. And this is, you're right. Do you also raise similar objections to other kinds? I mean, the geofencing, you know, geofence warrants and all of that right. has become an issue. I hate to be the one to say this is going to cost us unsolved murders and kidnappings, but I also hate to be the one to say, you know, let's embrace a technology that leads us towards the possibility of a police state that terrifies me, frankly.
Well, but again, my counter to that would be that you already have that with the license plate access that law enforcement officers have. The fact they run your plate and find out where you live, they can do
right.
a lot of them different
right.
things.
The passive ones that you guys are driving
yeah,
around
so,
with all the
so,
time,
so
right?
So there are some potential for abuse in those systems as well. I just think that this particular technology, and again, I'm a fan of obviously the Constitution and,
sure.
and the constitutional rights and the Second Amendment. The First Amendment, I'm a fan of all that. I do not think there is an expectation of privacy on our roadways, and that's why a law enforcement officer can run a tag. That's why an individual can stand, anyone, not just law enforcement, anyone can take pictures of you as you drive by, and they do. You've seen on
all right,
online.
Yeah.
They, every time someone cuts someone off, they take a picture of them and they put them online and they talk online, about how bad they are with their tag number and everything out there. I think that we should concentrate on the safeguards, which we have done. And again, to make sure that there is a level of comfort, level of ease, a middle ground, if you will, regarding the use of this technology. I don't have a problem with, you know, you talk about the geofencing and getting certain, we have to get certain warrants for certain things. I get all that. But I can tell you that there would be, statewide, certainly hundreds, thousands of very serious criminals that are still running the streets if it had not been for the license plate readers. I was elected in Escambia County, a resident of Escambia County, to do what I can to make them safer. And again, this is the most valuable tool that I'm aware of, more valuable than fingerprints, more valuable than, to me, than DNA. If you gave me the option of having one of those three, I would take the license plate readers every day.
And by the way, it's clearly contributed to a nationwide drop in crime, and locally we've seen that as well.
Right.
And even the reforms that Flock announced they were instituting last week, I think it was.
Right.
I'm like, we already do all of those already. Like, so they're not really, except for the 7-day collection rather than 30. So hey, we're totally out of time, Sheriff. I know it flies like crazy. Thank you so much for the conversation. I appreciate it, and certainly thank you so much for keeping us safe and talking with me every week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. And by the way, I had posted Sheriff Simmons' comments online and on our Facebook page at News Radio 92.3. And I think it's like 100 comments later, which are probably 80 to 90% against him on this issue. And some of them are not nice, which is, you know, very normal. But yeah, I was kind of surprised. There are a few people defending the value of the Flock cameras for solving crimes. You know, sort of a, I guess he doesn't want to get reelected. I guess you don't want your stolen car found. That was kind of the bit of the back and forth. But anyway, it's interesting if you want to go read those comments. If you're looking for somewhere to get something sweet today, Small Cakes Cupcake and Creamery next to Starbucks and Chick-fil-A at Bayou and Ninth is a wonderful little homemade, handmade shop that does slow-churned, creamy, flavorful ice cream, cookies and cream flavor, birthday cake, vanilla bean, blue monster cookie, chocoholic, salted caramel. I like that. Cupcakes, red velvet, lemon drop, wedding cake, birthday cake, hot fudge sundae, pink vanilla. They are really good cupcakes, I will tell you this. Their slogan is, maybe a cupcake will help, which I love that. Freshly baked gourmet. They do weddings, cater birthday parties, whatever. Or if you just want to treat yourself or a sweetie, you know, you can go by and pick one up. Again, Small Cakes Cupcake and Creamery next to Starbucks and Chick-fil-A at Bayou and Ninth, or check them out online at smallcakescupcakery.com.
Woo! Summer's heating up and we're smoking at Sonny's. Our new summer menu is hot and your favorite barbecue bowls, they're back. How about our new cherry cola pork burnt ends, some brisket mac and cheese or slider trio, and finish your meal off with some cherry cobbler egg rolls. With 4 locations in the News Radio area, we look forward to slathering you with Southern hospitality. If it's smoking out back, it's Sonny's out front. Don't forget to download your Sonny's barbecue app for sizzling summer deals and rewards. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
Let me introduce you to Social Mirror. This is when we take the best content from your social media platform and deliver it to the phones, tablets, and computers of your target audience, where they live or wherever they go on the internet. You can add a call to action that sends people to your website or opens up their phone app with your phone number on it or gives them directions to find you. All of this comes with reporting to show how many people saw the ad and reacted to it.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
this is Jeff Culhane, voice of the Florida State Seminoles. This is News Radio 92.3, your home for the Noles. Informative, local, dependable.
Aromatic. It must be wonderful to wake up in the morning and smell the coffee in Brazil.
I love the movie Roxanne. It's a great sort of maybe underrated, underknown romantic comedy with Steve Martin and Daryl Hannah from back in the 80s. And all the nose jokes are hilarious, in my opinion. I thought it was good. Somebody texts in at 437-1620. Do I understand properly flock cameras, LPRs, license plate readers, are just doing an already accepted law enforcement procedure at a more efficient cost? If so, isn't that being fiscally responsible? Yeah. Yeah, that's the argument for. The argument against, I mean, a lot of arguments against, but the argument against is that's right. And police have LPRs in their cars a lot of the time. And these are stationary. And if a police officer sat there at the exact place where the LPR exists and did what the LPR is doing, it would be legal. The question is not whether they're legal. They are clearly legal. The question is whether they fit within the context of the principles the Constitution was meant to protect or not, and what could be used in the future. That's right.
Local news every hour and breaking.